The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio.
In a world where jobs are how most people make money, one man, one desire, one challenge dares to break the mold. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where we don't work for money. Money works for us. Coming soon, viewer discretion advised.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manassero.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network. I'm your host, Bill Manassero, and this is the show where 50-plussers and anyone else who wants to join us get solid, no-sales-pitch real estate investing advice to help generate real cash flow. This podcast airs twice weekly on Mondays and Fridays, and if you aren't already a subscriber, go to iTunes or Apple Podcasts, type in Old Dogs, spelled D-A-W-G-S, find our podcast, and subscribe. Well, we have a very interesting show for you today. Not your typical real estate focused show, but one that definitely impacts your effectiveness as a real estate investor. And I'm talking about brand development or developing or shaping a brand. And whether we like it or not, or know it or not, you know, everybody has their own brand. You know, you are perceived by different people in all different areas as a certain way. And as an investor, for example, you know, we're dealing with banks that are maybe funding our deals, and they see you in a certain way. I mean, they see a certain brand when they look at you, what they know about you. As you're dealing with people that maybe you have an apartment complex and the tenants there maybe see you or your company as a brand in a certain way. So, you know, it's a really a kind of a key thing. If you can effectively present a positive brand, your success is, you know, should follow. And that's what we're going to be addressing today, is we have somebody who is a brand expert, and her name is Lindsay Walker. Now, Lindsay is the CEO of Walker & Associates Media Group, an elite public relations agency for innovators, creatives, and tastemakers in beauty, lifestyle, and entertainment. With a commitment to driving visibility and cultural clout through digital media, she and her top-tier team deliver results for clients worldwide, from Atlanta, Georgia to the UK. Having worked with top brands and media including Interscope Records, National Geographic, and FX Networks, Lindsay has done in a few years what some publicists don't do in their entire careers. Her campaigns have been seen in New York Times, Forbes, CBS This Morning, ABC, and InStyle magazine, to name a few. Lindsay was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer at age 27, and she defied all odds by fighting pain with passion. Relentless about her legacy, Lindsay emerged with an even gutsier vision for her life and to change the publicity game. Driven by an energy of excellence, Lindsay created a company that has mastered the art of bringing must-known brands to the forefront. Lindsay has a Bachelor of Arts, summa cum laude, in mass communications and marketing from Jackson State University. As an author, she penned her personal testimony entitled Thriving Through the Storm to inspire women to listen to themselves, their bodies, and God to find their way through life's toughest tragedies. She currently calls St. Louis, Missouri, her home. Well, Lindsay, welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you. I know you don't fall necessarily into our old dog age category here, but we are just thrilled to have you share your expertise about branding and setting your brand. But first, we'd love to hear your story before you get started, you know, talking about specifics about branding. Tell us who you are and where you came from, where you are today.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Lindsay. I'm a publicist. I work with beauty, entertainment, and lifestyle brands to help them get into the media. And I've always had a strong love for journalism and writing and connecting with people. And so I just really, really enjoy and wholeheartedly love what I do. I started my business around age 21, going on 22, I had no idea that I would be a full-time entrepreneur, but I couldn't find a job after I graduated from college. And so I just kind of decided to start my own business.
Oh, interesting. And how did you pick PR? Or just looking at your skill set and applying it? Or what brought you into that area?
Yeah, so I majored in PR in college, but before that, I was a part of a minority journalism workshop program in high school, like around my senior year, and we had an opportunity to choose between journalism or public relations, and I was like, ooh, public relations, what's that? And I fell in love with it. They taught us so much about like writing press releases, what it meant to pitch the media. We had to develop a press conference. And it was so just like intriguing to me that I fell in love with it. And I graduated, you know, with a degree in mass comm and emphasis in public relations.
Oh, fascinating. And so starting your own business, having not run a business, that had to be a little bit of a challenge.
Yes. I always tell people I knew that I had like the skill set of being a publicist, but knowing how to do something and knowing how to run a business doing what you know how to do, those are two totally different things. So I definitely kind of had to feel my way around, you know, as far as what proper business practices were, how I wanted to set up my business model, what everything should look like. So I'm definitely, you know, even now continuing to evolve in those things.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that definitely are very two different things. You could be an incredible publicist and have, you know, great writing ability and ability to pitch stories and so forth. But, you know, running a business and, you know, managing the, you know, all the aspects of, you know, your dollars and cents coming in and going and I'll add to that, you know, trying to get new business too. So you got to be a salesperson. You wear many hats as a business owner. I'm sure you know that better than most. Just from your own experience.
You have to wear all the hats and do all the things, especially when you are starting out, you know, because you don't really have capital to hire a full team. So, yeah, you got to do all the things for sure.
Sure. And now this was in St. Louis where you were, where you started out your business?
Yeah. Yes. So I started in St. Louis, and then I also spent some time in Atlanta as well.
And how did you go about finding your clients? Did you have a specific target sort of group that you were looking at, or were you just, you know, looking at you know, you're looking at like bigger companies in the area. How did you zero in and sort of find your first clients?
Yeah, so actually, like, social media has been such an amazing tool for me and my business. I landed my first two clients on Twitter and another client on LinkedIn. And, you know, I just kind of would cold email, do cold outreach, and, you know, just kind of grew my portfolio from there. You know, and now we have people that see us on social and see the results that we've gotten, and they'll reach out to us that way. You know, but still, social media is the best thing that I could have done, you know, especially starting off. This was before Instagram, but starting off on Twitter, you know, making sure that I was connecting with people, making sure that I was looking for people who were looking for me. And then, you know, as I kind of started to figure out what industries I loved, what industries I wanted to work in, those that I didn't want to work in, it became a lot easier to just kind of filtered through, you know, who were our ideal clients and who weren't.
Yeah, that's key. And I guess for any entrepreneurs is finding that niche where, you know, not only do you enjoy it, but it seems, you know, it's an area where you're most successful. But you also had that sort of the challenge too. You're new, you're probably not known by a lot of these people you're approaching. So you had to shape your own brand, I would imagine, early on.
Yes. And that's a thing, you know, that I tell a lot of service-based businesses and entrepreneurs, like, you have to continue to build momentum and get visibility, you know, for yourself as you're growing in other aspects of your business.
Yeah. And you didn't have, you on top of that, not only is it challenging, you know, not necessarily having already a known presence, but you really didn't have a lot of experience. So how do you do that when you don't have a lot of experience that you can tout? Yet you got to sell yourself, right? So you've got, you know, new clients coming in.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, that's one of those things where sometimes I look back and I'm like, wow, like, you know, I was blessed enough to where people really just kind of trusted me. And most of my clients, about 90%, probably I would even say 95% of my clients, you know, I secure from online. And a lot of us are not in the same city. And so there's a big, big factor and a big level of trust there. And I've always found it interesting that people, you know, trust me enough, and even early on trusted me enough to get the job done. And so what I would do is just kind of share with them, like, you know, hey, starting off, I would let them know and be open and honest about that. But I would also let them know, you know, why I chose to reach out to them and what I felt that I could do, you know, for their business and for their brand.
That's great. That's great. You mentioned news releases, and I, you know, from my old time, way back when, you know, news releases were pretty much the lifeblood of, you know, PR, and getting it to the right audience, and hopefully, you know, having that that media outlet pick up on it. Are news releases still a pretty active methodology to get your message out?
They are. It just, you know, altogether depends on the strategy of like what you're using them for. So if it's a new product launch, or if there's something that, you know, there's an event going on, or there's something that's, you know, related to breaking news, then definitely sending releases is a part of that. But also, you know, I like to do individual media outreach as well.
And how receptive are these outlets? I mean, I imagine there's a lot of people hitting them up all day long. How do you get them, Lindsay, answer the phone and talk to you?
Yeah. So for me, I'm just, you know, pretty persistent when it comes to making sure that I'm advocating for each client that we represent, and making sure that, you know, we have a strong core message that's going to resonate with the, you know, outlets that we're reaching out to. And so, you know, sometimes we don't always get responses right away. Sometimes it looks like, you know, going and reapproaching them, or reshifting and recrafting the message. But, you know, ultimately we go in with having a strategy in mind for the people that we're reaching out to.
Right. And it's funny, after I asked the question, I just thought, wow, well, maybe you're not using the phone. Like that's what we used to do, you know, is use the phone, you know, it's like, you know, just always on the phone. But, you know, maybe that's not the most effective way. I mean, how are you reaching you mentioned, you know, going into LinkedIn to find clients and so forth. Are you using similar type avenues to reach the media?
Yes. So I'm in a couple of Facebook groups where I'm connected with some beautiful individuals for, you know, different industries that I'm in. And then also, like, I will do a lot of emailing, you know, instead of calling as well. So I'd say about 85% email, you know, or connecting with them through, you know, their email addresses. And then, you know, the other percent of the time is spent, you know, connecting via social media.
Gotcha. And is there one type of social media that is more effective than others?
No, I think especially now because we're in COVID and, you know, everybody's still at home and trying to figure things out. I think that all channels, you know, are effective.
I know there's constantly new things coming, you know, and going and so forth. Some were effective, you know, a month ago, some are not effective. The same ones aren't effective now. Are there any sort of emerging new forms? What's this one called? It's like tick or you know, tack. What's that one called? Yeah. Is that a viable means for you to communicate with people?
I don't use it. I know that it's, you know, a great way to draw awareness and traffic to, you know, what you're doing, but that's not one that I use. Mainly I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, and I may, you know, be on Twitter here and there. I use a lot of, you know, live video on Facebook and Instagram, and a lot of stories on Instagram as well.
Do you do a lot of emailing, or is that not as popular some of the other social media channels?
I email is like my best friend, so I'm definitely always emailing and checking my inbox, but when it comes to, you know, working with people or like keeping them updated on what we have going on, most of it's through social media, and then I do email marketing as well.
Right. Got it. Do you kind of look for, let's see, I don't know if you ever had it sounds like mostly companies that you're working with, but do you also, you know, try to promote an individual or a personality?
Yes. So we have, you know, our clients who have their companies, but then some of them may also shift into, you know, being personalities as well, or just like individuals sharing their story. And we definitely work with them in that capacity as well.
Right. So looking at somebody, you know, again, we're in the real estate space. There are, you know, a lot of people, they're trying to, you know, the focus is, you know, generally acquiring properties and, you know, and growing their companies through that. What kind of branding or you know, would you, let's say somebody came to you and it's a person that owns maybe, you know, 1,000 units of apartments and they're, you know, they're trying to get their face out there to attract investors, to attract you know, people that also, you know, might want to, you know, rent from them in their apartments, and what kind of a, I know this is kind of off the cuff and you usually would want to think quite a bit on a strategy here, but just generally, what do you think would be some of the popular sort of avenues that you would use to help promote that person?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that there are a lot of great ways to do that. So number one, kind of sharing that person's personal story as far as how they even got interested in the industry in the first place. And then the second tier of that would be having that individual share their expertise, especially now with everything that's going on with COVID. It's important and people want to know, you know, well, how is this pandemic going to make or break, you know, my rent, or how is it going to affect the overall housing market? So those are definitely areas and angles that individual could speak to, in addition to, you know, just overall, like, doing some showcasing on their particular properties and kind of showing, like, what makes the property different and, you know, why people should want to move here and that sort of thing.
Right, right. And do you, or have you dealt with sort of crisis PR type situations? You know, for example, you know, something where, oh man, all of a sudden someone got a real bad hit in the media and, you know, tried to counter that. And have you done that kind of thing in the past?
So that is one area of PR that I do not like to touch. So I, you know, will refer people to others that can handle that more, you know, more than I can, or better than I can, rather, because I just believe in people sticking to what they know and their, you know, particular zones of genius, if you will. And so, you know, the only way that I would ever take on, you know, a crisis type of situation is if one of my current clients found themselves in said situation, and or if it was just an industry where I knew, like, okay, this is, you know, how they're going to respond. But I would still, you know, suggest that depending on the type of crisis that it is, that, like, the publicist would have to work with that person's, you know, legal team.
Right, right. Yeah, I was thinking, for example, you mentioned COVID-19 and that, you know, there's probably a lot of businesses that want to assure the public that maybe their, you know, whatever their business is, that maybe a restaurant, maybe a store or something, that it is, you know, that they have safe practices in terms of, you know, COVID-19 and so forth, that you're trying to dispel, you know, people's fears of going in and doing business with them. I mean, that would be kind of a crisis PR situation, but maybe not as huge as, you know, something more major. But I mean, that's, I think a lot of businesses are probably having to deal with that, I would imagine.
Yes, absolutely. I think that, you know, especially with us being in the middle of COVID, and in the midst of a pandemic, like, everyone is kind of trying to figure out what's going to work, what's not going to work, what could possibly work. There are a lot of things and narratives that are constantly shifting. And so, you know, for everyone right now, it's important to make sure that, you know, from business to business, getting more visibility, that we're all kind of adhering to those things. And I know for me, specifically, a lot of our clients work with, you know, a lot of different event aspects in terms of getting publicity. And so we kind of had to make sure that we were on the same page with the different cities and things like that. So yeah, that absolutely can be it's a COVID crisis for sure.
Yeah. And a lot of companies obviously got hit pretty hard. You know, a lot of, like you mentioned, in things like concert halls and convention bureaus. I mean, things like this just boom, it just immediately stopped, you know, no more sporting events, no, you know, all these things. And there's not a lot you can do, but, you know, because it just, people are, you know, and in some states they're saying you can't do a sporting event at all. And so those got to be difficult. You know, if you have clients in that area, that you have to try to help them to offset that that huge hit, I would imagine.
Exactly. Like, you have to pivot. Like, that's been my word the entire quarantine since March, is just, you know, positioning your brand to pivot. I actually have an accelerator where I teach people how to do that using PR. And so, like, a lot of people had to learn how to use Zoom, how to use Skype, how to, you know, continue running their businesses just in an online platform. And so it's been quite interesting to see, you know, just kind of how the whole trajectory has shifted.
Yeah, I bet. I bet you're in the heart of it, working with a lot of these companies, I'm sure. What would you say is sort of a, you know, kind of shifting gears a little bit here, is sort of a common mistake that people make when trying to maybe promote their brand? I know that's a real general question here, but maybe there's something that really stands out to you just from your experience.
Yeah, I think that the biggest mistake that people make, or the most common one, is, you know, comparing themselves to other people and trying to mimic or copy what they see their competition doing instead of listening to what their specific audience needs.
Right, right. So you're probably more focused than in, instead of trying to imitate, trying to pull out of them or their company, that key identifier that really separates them from the competition that they should be promoting, as opposed to trying to copy somebody else, right?
Exactly.
And maybe you can give us an example of maybe a successful campaign that you did that might, we might be able to relate to that, it came to you to, ask you to help promote them and get their visibility and name out there and so forth, that really stands out as something that would be a good example of how the right way to do things.
Yeah. So I work with a lot of different clients and helping them to, just kind of stand out in the marketplace. And so I worked with one client who's in the spirits industry. And when she initially came to us, she was looking to get press for her upcoming event and trying to figure out, how to just really, really build more traction and kind of be positioned as the spirits company on the rise. And we were able to kind of push past the noise because she has a very unique angle when it comes to, the spirits industry and working within that industry and kind of like the diversity and inclusion aspect. And so we were able to get her in New York Times, and she's been in just a plethora of publications. And I think that speaks to, her not really trying to compete, but really understanding that, what we're offering and how we're positioning that offer is interesting to people in the industry and her target audience. And a lot of times there are so many business owners that kind of get lost when they try to, just do things like everybody else. You have to make sure that you're standing out, no matter what your industry is.
Oh, great. Well, we have our, audience here that, these are people generally 50 years of age and older. They're sort of approaching retirement, or they're already in retirement, and they're using real estate investing as a means to sort of build up a legacy for them to be able to hand down to their families one day. They're also looking at trying to maybe supplement their retirement, or maybe take some of their retirement funds and invest them to grow, so that they don't just deplete their retirement accounts, but they can sustain them and even grow them. They have a number of different audiences. They may be dealing with banks, for example, who they have to appeal to for funding for mortgages or what have you. May have outside investors that they're trying to attract to help fund whatever their project is. Maybe they're building something from ground up, or maybe they're trying to appeal to people that would want to do business with them. And so how would you talk to people like that in terms of the fact that do they have a brand, and if they do, what would be sort of the kinds of things that they would need to do to help to start to put put that brand together and differentiate themselves?
Yeah. I mean, I think that the first thing is figuring out, kind of like you said, like what's the why behind it, because that is going to help kind of put the rest of the pieces of the puzzle together. And once you have that figured out, it's like, okay, what are the benefits of what I'm doing? I actually think that, especially right now, people that are, 50 plus, this is a unique position for them to be in, just because, a lot of times people are looking at millennials or, the younger generation to, you know, have different types of accomplishments or different types of, you know, success stories when it comes to, you know, entrepreneurship or real estate or whatever the case is. But, you know, for you to be someone who is above that demographic, to say, hey, you know, maybe I started my business at 50 and, you know, now I've been able to flip houses or convert, you know, this apartment building into a fleet of tiny houses. And this is how I make my revenue, right? And this is how I've been able to pivot during COVID. I think that, you know, that's definitely a great way to continue to stand out in the marketplace and you know, being a trailblazer in that regard, because you don't see a lot of just people in general, especially right now, still going for the things that they want to go for, whether it be, you know, lifelong dreams or goals or whatever the case is. So I definitely think that, you know, the age, especially in this scenario, is really, really great and a good advantage within itself.
That's a great way to put it. I think that's true. I mean, they have a lifetime of you know, experience and other things that I'm sure that they could share as part of that that brand positioning, which I'm sure is an important part of what you do. I mean, when you first get a new client, right, is this sitting down and sort of exploring what aspects of their business might be, you know, worth you know, sort of bringing to the forefront.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know, you've got this great business. You've been amazing clients, and you know, quite a neat story to tell here. What excites you about the future of your business and what you see ahead?
Yeah. So, like, one of the great things that COVID actually really brought is, you know, like I said earlier, the fact that it's causing everybody to pivot in one way or another. And so for me, in the beginning of the pandemic, in the beginning of March, I kind of was just like, okay, like, what's going on here? Am I going to be able to, you know, be sustainable? What's everything going to look like? And I kind of created this accelerator program where I work with about 10 individuals for 12 weeks, teaching them like my proven framework on how they can get publicity and visibility for themselves. It's called Position to Pivot Accelerator. And I'm super excited about the direction that that is taking off within my business, because not only do I work with clients one-on-one, but even if someone, you know, is unable to work with me in a direct one-on-one capacity, the accelerator is there and they still have access to me, and they're still able to, you know, get feedback, get strategy, chat with me one-on-one, you know, and also learn how to go about creating those opportunities, you know, for themselves, and they can kind of avoid some of the pitfalls that most people make that we talked about earlier. So that is something that I'm super, super excited about.
Oh, that's really neat. That's a great idea. I'd love if there's a link, or I don't know if you have more information online, but that'd be something nice to share with folks in our show notes for the podcast. That'd be great.
Yes, absolutely. We're actually opening up enrollment in October for our third cohort. And so I'll definitely make sure that I get you that information for sure.
Yeah. And I think that that's one thing a lot of people don't see. You know, so often we think of marketing being just sales and, you know, blasting messages out there and so forth for, you know, to draw people in. But what's interesting is that properly placed publicity and exposure, you know, in media, you're not selling. What you're doing is you're attracting people, and it's a different strategy. It's still marketing. I believe it's still marketing, but it's a marketing that, instead of, you know, chasing after business, you know, you're getting people to chase after you. And if it's done effectively, I mean, that's That's ideal, because if somebody said, hey, I read this article on Forbes about you, I want to find out more about your company and what you're doing. You know, I mean, that has so much more weight and power than running a full page ad in Forbes. I mean, would you agree?
Yes, I definitely agree wholeheartedly. And you hit the nail on the head. It's about, you know, attracting the proper audiences to your business, to your brand, to your products, you know, and or your services. And so, yeah, I definitely think that, you know, ads have their place for being effective, but there's nothing like having, you know, a cosign from someone in the media to say, wow, this is a great product, this is a great story, let me write about it. And then, you know, allowing their audiences to be able to connect with that individual as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. And you're teaching people how to do it themselves, huh? Through this network you're forming.
Yes. There are 12 modules all in all. We have, a breakdown of classes every week. We also do like hot seat coaching and Q&As. And so by the time, you know, you may start off with, you know, a PR plan, but by the time we wrap up in the 12 weeks, at least, you know, you will know the fundamentals of how to pitch to the media. And I am all about implementation as well. And that's a big part of what separates our course from others. And so what I have kind of curated is actually, you know, working with the clients in that program so that they leave the program with various, you know, publicity and visibility placements.
Right. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Really great. Wow. Well, we have this this session here. We kind of running a little bit longer, but I'm excited because there's so many good things that you're sharing here. We have this segment we call Wrap It Up, where I ask you a series of quick questions and you share resources that have been of value to you. And hopefully that'll also be some good information people can take away from this podcast, too. If you're open for that, we can go ahead and wrap it up.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. How about a favorite book on publicity, brand promotion, PR, whatever category you might want to call it, that's been sort of a favorite book for you that you think might be of value to our listeners?
Oh, wow. There's so many different ones that I've read. There's one, and I don't remember the name of it offhand, but it's like a really, really thick book. I think it's like PR 101. No, it's called The Publicity Handbook. That's what it is. It's called The Publicity Handbook, and it's amazing. It has tons of case studies and resources and PR plans. So that's one of like my favorites.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great. Great resource. How about just a general business book? I mean, obviously you run a business, so, you know, you probably come across some good books that are just have helped you a lot on the business side of your business.
Yes, I would have to say it's a book that I'm currently reading, and it's called Profit First. I love that book.
Oh, I love that. We've had Mike on our show, and he has, that is like one of my favorite books, too. I love that book. And also he has one, too, that's called Clockwork. I don't know if you've heard of it. It talks about the whole time side of things, you know, that especially in your business. I mean, that is, it's all about time, right? I mean, you know, every, you know, hour that you're working, you know, it's either you're either making money on it or you're not. And you're basically, you know, and like most businesses, we're basically selling our time, right? So that's a good one. But I love Profit First. Great way to run a business, I think.
Yeah,
it's excellent. How about a valuable website for you that's been real helpful in your profession?
Yeah, I would have to say Google. Google is like my, you know, go-to website. I'm always looking up everything, you know, and you'd be surprised what you can find once you take the time out to research it.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. That's great. How about an app? Is there an app that helps you in either your business or, you know, your just general day-to-day stuff?
Yeah, I love Instagram. I've been able to connect with so many great people, you know, clients, colleagues, people that have turned into friends. I've been able to, you know, just kind of learn and glean from so many different people as well. So I love Instagram.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, favorite quote. Do you have a favorite quote you'd like to share with us?
Gosh, favorite quote. Well, one of my favorite quotes is, you know, that fear will be present, but do it anyway. It's something that I've kind of just been, you know, saying to myself lately. And so I think that it's valuable for everybody, because I think that sometimes we get caught up in, you know, well, if we're starting a business, if we're doing whatever we're doing in our lives, that we think that, you know, it's supposed to be without fear, but, you know, it's going to happen. It's going to come.
That's a great quote. It really is. And it speaks a lot to your life and the things that you've had to overcome too. I mean, that's awesome. That's a great one. Well, this is a little more challenging question here. This is, okay, if, for example, you lost absolutely everything, mm-hmm. and you know what you already know. I mean, you've still got the knowledge that you have, but all you have is $1,000 in cash. How would you recreate your PR business?
That is a toughie. I think that I would, you know, kind of write a few press releases about what I currently have going on in business, and I would use the $1,000 to distribute that release out. And then I would also, so I'd probably use half to distribute the release and then half on ads, if you will, and you know, kind of drum up some more cash.
Awesome. Great idea. All right. Well, gosh, I'm sure that there's a lot of folks here that have listened that, you know, want to find out more about what you do and about your company. What's the best way for folks to find that information out?
Yes, absolutely. People can reach out to me through email. It's hi, that's H-I, at Walker, W-A-L-K-E-R, Associ, mediagroup.com. And if they're interested in learning more about our accelerator, they can go to positiontopivot.com and join the waitlist.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Wow. Well, Lindsay, this has been so great having you on. This is an area that I think a lot of people don't really look at. And I think it's great that you were able to enlighten us, open our eyes here. And I definitely think that this is going to be some good, valuable information for our folks. So, but before we go, we have this tradition on our show, and all of our guests, you know, we're called the Old Dogs REI Network. So we like to, you know, just our little branding exercise here is that we like to have our guests close us out with their best old hound dog howl.
All righty. Let me see here. My voice is a little raspy, so we'll see.
That was good. That was good. That was a St. Louis howl. I love it.
Awesome.
Wow. Well, great. Thank you so much, Lindsay, for being on. I want to thank all our old dog listeners out there, too, for joining us. I know there's a lot of other things you could be doing right now, but the fact that you've taken the time to join us means a lot, and we really appreciate it. Please note everything that Lindsay talked about today can be accessed in detail in our show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. Well, that's the show for today. Remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.